City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It's a Mandan City Current today. So Jim Neubauer is here from the city of Mandan.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. And we're recording on a day a little bit different than normal. We're here on a Friday, February 23rd. Usually we're always Wednesday morning, but it's been a busy week.
So. Been a very busy week and a short week at that. So yeah. Like I said, glad to be here today.
All right. Thanks for coming in. And it was an interesting meeting once again for the City Commission on Tuesday night. Mandan City Commission meets. And you had a couple of items on your agenda that took the bulk of the meeting, but there's always a couple of other issues to throw into the mix. And speaking of mix, let's talk about asphalt and concrete crushing and those kinds of things. Yeah, the city commission awarded a bid for an annual contract for crushing concrete and asphalt.
Kind of a tongue twister there, but every year we put out bids, we take in, you know, asphalt and concrete out at our landfill. And normally about this time of year, we will put that out for bids because we don't have the equipment to crush the asphalt or crush the concrete. So we normally budget about $50,000 for this project. And this year we awarded that contract on Tuesday night. And what it really does is, for folks who are wondering, well, why do we crush the concrete? Why do we crush asphalt? And what we do with that material is we'll use it for bedding material and temporary road material in the wintertime. And also, you know, waterline break happens normally not between your 8 and 5 hours or breaking at midnight. And when we need material to lay a new pipe down, we have it readily available. And so we use it a lot in our existing forces.
One of those little known facts about city government, all the little things that have to be done. And it sounds like it's an efficient way to get the product you need for other purposes and then also dispose of big items out of the landfill.
It frees up a lot of area at the landfill.
Yeah.
And also when contractors are doing work, whether you're building a house and the foundation went in wrong and you have to tear out the concrete, where do they take it? Well, we have a place for those folks to take that. When you're milling and overlaying a road, sometimes the millings need to be deposited somewhere. Bring it out to landfill, and in turn, we make use of it's a higher form of recycling.
Recycling, yes, at its finest.
Right.
And heaviest, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the big items on your agenda last night had to do with Mandan's 2-year property tax exemption on new homes. And it started out with a survey presentation by your city assessor. Talk a little bit about what the results of that survey were, how it started, and who was involved in the survey.
You know, as part of our review of all the incentives that we provide to businesses and homeowners and commercial property owners, last year when this discussion came up, and, you know, it's an annual discussion that the commission has. During our budget season, we looked and said, all right, we've got to. The exemption is for new homes, $75,000, or the first $75,000 on that home is exempt for 2 years, provided you put in an application and things like that. Mm-hmm. The commissioners asked, well, how well is this program known, and how many people are taking advantage of it, and things like that. So we surveyed all of those folks who obviously knew about the exemption, and the question was, did you know that we offered the first $75,000 for the first 2-year exemption on a new home? And of those respondents that we received, 75% said yes, they were aware. So, you know, we would like that to be 100%, but 75% said they were aware. And the next question we asked, did it influence your decision to build or buy that home in Mandan? And so results kind of varied from the first time we did the survey to later on in the year when someone came in and turned in their exemption paperwork. We had 2 questions on the bottom. Again, were you aware that we provided that exemption? And 2, did it influence your decision? And overall, when you combine the 2 survey results, again, 75% said they knew of the exemption, and I think 38% said it influenced their decision on whether to buy or build in Mandan. So, you know, good information for the commission to look at.
Seemed a little low, and it was kind of surprising that only 38% said it influenced their decision.
Right.
That was kind of interesting.
You know, the actual dollars in your pocket effect is about $890 to $900 per year.
I'll take it.
Due to that exemption, you know, $75,000. You know, when that exemption was first put in place many, many years ago, $75,000 was really more than likely the cost of a new home.
Mm-hmm.
So your
bigger percentage of the actual cost, right?
Today, when your new home prices are probably in the $250,000 range.
Averages, yeah.
Maybe it has less of an effect, but it still helps.
Sure, absolutely. So your city assessor presented the survey results and then a discussion ensued amongst the commissioners. But there was also testimony from the Bismarck Mandan Home Builders Association. Their executive director and one of their officers came in and talked and brought up some points and were wanted the exemption to continue and made some valid points about why it should.
Yep. Dodd-Frank, their executive officer and also one of their board members, came in and testified and said, you know, we think that helps us build homes and helps the building in trades and also helps the realtors sell homes because we have that exemption. And, you know, they present in very good information for the board to consider. And it's always, you know, Dot comes in and makes a very good case to keep the exemption going. You know, our job is to present the commission with alternatives on what they can do with the exemption. One of those alternatives is do nothing, which means that $75,000 stays in place for 2 years. Or they could modify it to increase it up to $150,000 or $100,000 or increase that exemption amount or do away with it completely or something in between. And at the end of the day, the commission's discussion was we want to make sure that if we do something that all of the folks that are looking at building or have, you know, contracts with builders for their current house, they may be planning on that $75,000 exemption. So keep it in place until all the permits in 2018, if you have a building permit in 2018 for a single family home, that would be eligible for that 2 year exemption. If your building permits come in, you know, in 2019, you would get 1 year.
Okay.
Instead. So they, in essence, they cut it in half. And again, they'll reevaluate.
Kind of just stepped it down.
Correct.
And the reason this, it seems the reason this is kind of tricky is the market changes. You know, at times when the community was booming a few years ago, this discussion, I remember, came to the Mandan City Commission at that time, and there was a long discussion about do we really need this in this time of a lot of construction and new homes coming up. Essentially, they left it in place at that time. But if there ever was a time to take it out, that would have been it. And but we're not in that time anymore, and that's the point that the home builders were making last night.
I think it's there's some theories behind exemptions. You should have exemptions in place when your industry is slowed down, and you should continue them when the industry picks up to keep that momentum going. You know, in this case, depending on what you think, and there's all kinds of theories, but I think, but the commission, by taking the action to say, all right, we'll give all those folks, you know, 1 year to get adjusted in the, you know, going from 2 years to 1 year, and we'll start the 1 year in 2019. And at our next meeting on March 6th, a resolution will be brought before the board. You know, here's what you asked us to do on the February 20th meeting, and here's what we're bringing forward now.
So last night was just the beginning of that discussion.
Tuesday night, it was on for discussion only and give staff some direction on where they want to move. And this is the direction. And it really, you know, as budgets become really tight, this exemption affects not only the city's coffers, but the schools, the county, the park district. So it's not just...
They all rely on property taxes.
Yep, so. Not just a city exemption.
Okay. And again, this will come back to the commission for discussion at the end of this year, this calendar year. It'll come back again to see how you want to continue, or how the city will continue.
The commission likes to make sure, okay, is the exemptions that we currently have, are they still working? Do they need to be adjusted? And they come up for evaluation.
Okay.
So by the board, so they're pretty concerned about those things.
All right. Well, we'll probably talk about this again.
Probably in January of 2019.
There you go. The other item on the agenda our Tuesday night was the downtown sub-area study was presented, the final presentation of an 18-month study. And it was a long presentation, but extremely interesting. if you like that sort of thing, which
nice
I do.
Nice qualifier there, yes. The half-hour presentation.
It was great. I mean, it was very, very thorough, and they had a lot of visuals that they walked through, and we'll try and do that as well and follow along as you talk a little bit about what was presented. They have a website, and it's downtownmandan.com. Yep. You can go to that website and look at all that information. It's very extensive, and it really covers a specific area of the downtown. Mm-hmm. Do you recall what the borders are, Jim?
Really, it's the Main Street, and then more focus on the west end of Main Street from mm-hmm. Collins Avenue going west.
Okay.
And this project started about 18 months ago. There's been a lot of input from the public, and there's a lot of information. If you simply Google downtownmandan.com, and you will be able to find your way there, but an extensive report.
Right, and there are maps here that indicate the borders of the study. So, and there's just a ton of information here, and there was a lot of focus on, obviously, Main Street. There were stakeholders brought in of various groups and organizations.
Yep, at the beginning of this process, you're always asked to put a stakeholder group together. And when we looked at it, and we've got, you know, City Mandan has many committees. We have representation on this stakeholder committee from our beautification committee, our mm-hmm. architecture review committee, our Renaissance Zone committee, our Mandan Growth Fund, planning and zoning, and all those committees.
Mandan Progress Organization too,
because all of what happens in downtown on Main Street is affected these groups. And therefore, we thought it was a good way to bring in a good cross-section of the community mm-hmm. into this process. So
there's also another website you can go to, or links from this website that will take you on to a more of a virtual tour that will actually place you in some of these areas that they talk about, and you can do a 360-degree turns and look at what the perspective would look like should they implement some of these changes. We have one intersection on the screen right now. Talk a little bit, Jim, about what some of the new features might be here.
Well, the study includes all kinds of transportation, and you know, we've heard a lot about bicycling and pedestrian, but those are modes of transportation in your downtown area. So it's not just vehicular. And so when we do the study, so we look at both, you know, from walking to biking to driving, and how those all play in your downtown. And what we have on the screen, you know, I'm not a real, I don't do lines on a map very well, and I don't get a real good grasp of those kinds of things.
We need to draw you a picture.
Need to draw me a picture, or I can draw a picture, and it's not very well done. But what we have on what we can show folks if they download this, or if they go online and look, one of the big features in downtowns is you need to clean it up and green it up. And so there are trees, there are bulb outs shown on Main Street. What we're looking at is trying to bring more parking to the south side of Main Street. When Main Street was reconstructed back in the early 90s, a lot of the south side parking along Main was taken away. We're thinking about bringing a lot of that back, and which would mean narrowing the streets from four lanes to
and slowing
three.
Some of the traffic, because
slow
now
traffic,
you've got parking on both sides.
Yep,
right?
And like I said, the bulb outs and the what we call bulb outs or turnouts provide some pedestrian safety zones mm-hmm. when you're trying to cross from the north side of Main Street to the south side of Main Street, where we continually hear, I don't know if anyone remembers the game Frogger. I'm dating myself there, but you're trying to cross several lanes of traffic with your frog, and normally you get smoked.
I love
smoked.
That game.
And what we've heard, our Main Street is likened to that. And so if we can slow the traffic down, give pedestrians a safe way to cross from the south side of Main Street to the north side of Main Street, that'd be awesome.
Right.
And that's part of what this is trying to do.
Sure. And aesthetically, there's all sorts of improvements here. But it also incorporates that public safety issue, which is huge. And I would assume that most of your retailers and service businesses in the downtown area would definitely welcome any more on-street parking that they can get. And most downtowns like that. You know?
Right. It all plays into, you know, the governor's Main Street initiatives and some of those projects that they have is how do you increase your density downtown? How do you make it more walkable, bikeable? What can you do? Because, you know, at the end of the day, all of the infrastructure in your downtowns is pretty much in place. You've got water, sewer, sidewalks, streets, and, you know, bring more people mm-hmm. downtown to take advantage of those things right. versus building out into green space or brand new areas, which becomes more costly.
Well, and we've talked previous programs about some of the ideas and options that are being explored for West Main.
Yep.
And they incorporate residential space. And if you don't have good walkable space downtown, those particular units will mm-hmm. not be that attractive to people. You have to have the walkability scores.
Yep, there's so a speak, there's a walkability score it. to get in your downtowns. We've got the great luxury of having the Mandan Depot, the Beanery, where the Mandan Progress Organization is housed. We've got the Dykeshore Park, the Bandshell, and now the new Heritage Park area.
Right.
All these places on the south side of Main Street where people love to go and to walk in the summer mm-hmm. times and even in the winter times. And how do we do a better job of making sure that they can get from point A to point B in a safe and reliable manner?
Right. And another part of the study that I thought was very interesting was a focus on the alleys in Mandan. And let's face it, most alleys aren't that pretty until you really take a look. And there's some things that you can do. Certainly, we've seen public art added in the area that really makes a huge impact. But a lot of it can be done with just some safety features and maybe some additional lighting and those types of things, cleaning them up.
Lighting is one of the biggest things, I think, in our alleys that people are asking for. You know, again, it goes along with that safety issue is if you can light up your alley, sometimes that makes a nice pedestrian mm-hmm. corridor. You know, they are normally considered the dirty side of the building because you've got your dumpsters and your garbage cans and you've got all of your power lines running through there. But if you can light them up and just give people a safe place to walk, you know, mm-hmm. that might, you know, also
or
do
even just walk by. I mean, you be passing through an alley area, not necessarily in the alley, if it's not looking good, you get a little intimidated. So there right. is some focus on that. And I think that's we've got a visual on the screen that shows some ways that can happen.
Just I think there's a lot of folks that
cleaning them up.
Sometimes in addition to their front door, you know, show my age here, but I think the back door to George's Bakery when George's was still there was probably the busiest back door in Mandan because people would go through the back door and
what
pick
are
up
you suggesting
their,
Jim well what I'm was just, going on there
you know there was a, I think a lot of pastries and buns and things like that going out the back door of George's, which were all
funny.
We can park back there and we can go in and get our stuff and get out, but you know, I
early almost
that.
A drive up back
yep,
there yeah
5 o'clock in the morning people were picking up their caramel rolls and things like that. And mm-hmm. that's part of, you know, we can have a front door and we can have a back
sure.
door and make sure that both are utilized in a really safe manner.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, the bicycles are a concern in transportation and should be included in any kind of plan these days because there's an increase in people using bicycles to commute. It isn't just in the summer anymore.
Yep, bicycles are a very, very interesting topic. And sometimes the argument is, well, I haven't seen a bicycle downtown forever. And, you know, you can say, well, that's because there's no safe place to ride
right.
a bike downtown. So you are not going to have them. If you create safe zones for your bicycle mm-hmm. list to ride, you will have bicycle riders. So there's always that
right.
give and take.
And they have some options in those bicycle amenities, so to speak. That aren't necessarily going to be really cost prohibitive, but some simple things that can be done for bicycles that would increase that traffic, which is going to free up parking and provide all sorts of other benefits.
There's a ripple effect, mm-hmm. and you know we'll have to see how that is incorporated. You know, if we are successful in some grant applications in redoing some of the things downtown, that certainly has to be considered. And again, there's a good argument to say, well, we have no bicyclists downtown, so why do we
right.
make room for them? But if we can incorporate safe zones for bicyclists in what we're doing to create safe zones for pedestrians and vehicles and things mm-hmm. like that, if we can make it all meld in together, that'd be great.
You mentioned grants, and mm-hmm. we're on a page now that talks about the next step in the study. And that obviously that's moving forward and how to implement some of these recommendations. But we've talked on a previous program about the urban grant program
Correct.
That your city engineer has already applied for that, uses this information and to implement some of these changes already.
And I think, you know, in our downtown area, we've got some streets that need to be fixed and replaced. And all of this, you know, we talked earlier about the timing of this study worked really well for the grant applications that are due in February, I think even may be due today, where there is some money at the state level to move forward on some of these projects. And we hope we're successful in receiving, you know, some of those monies. And important to note is if we were successful in being awarded a piece of the pie, those improvements would probably not start taking effect until 2019. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of process that needs to be gone through yet.
Right.
And so it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen this summer, but funds might be available in 2019 to do some of these things.
Well, now you have the city has some excellent data, current data on a variety of anything that touches transportation in this area.
Study is it's well done, and there's a lot of information for you. You know, some of the parts that I really like are, you know, people wonder how an intersection is working during the daytime. There's drone video of, you know, here's what that intersection looks like during this time of the day. They can also take you in kind of a 3D model and place you if you want to take your street from four lanes down to, you know, two lanes with a center turn lane. What is that going to look like and kind of put you at ground level?
Yeah.
I think the commission made an interesting point and a good point on Tuesday night was if we're going to do something and we're successful in an application, let's not do a temporary fix. Let's do it and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that we don't have, we've watched what Bismarck has done with their four lanes to three lanes, and sometimes it gets a little confusing because you have some leftover paint on the street. And
I said,
sometimes we watch what other communities are doing and see some of the things that we might do different.
You learn
from other communities, and that's one thing that our commission has said, if we're going to do this, let's make this a permanent switch and make it that way.
We continue to scroll through this survey and the
we could
pages.
Be here for quite a while if we're going to do that.
It is just a little mind-boggling how much information is in here. And it's, you know, again, with so many graphs and visuals, it is easy to really follow where they go with this, where they start, when they do an assessment, and then options and the impact of all the different options that are out there. The action last night at the commission meeting was not necessarily we're going to do all of these options. It was we accept the study now, and now we move forward with this information.
Study, and it's important to note that study is paid for through the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Mm-hmm. We have a cost share with that.
Okay.
And at times people will say, well, why are you doing a study of this, and how much are you paying for it? Well, normally we end up paying for 20%. Of that study, but also along with that, these studies are sometimes necessary if you are going to apply for some federal grant money and some state transportation money in order to make improvements. So kind of like one of those, you have to spend a little money to get a lot of money.
Oh, this is
and
valuable.
And if you don't do that, then your chance of obtaining that federal grant to make these improvements is nil.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was a time-consuming process. And like I said, it's been going on for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
We think the end product really gives us some very useful information to move forward with in
Absolutely.
The future.
This is incredible.
And not saying that everything in here is going to be implemented in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
But it's a matter of, okay, here's a blueprint, and you can start peeling off pieces to do at a time. And I think even attending the Governor's Main Street Initiative, it's, you know, they're not talking about we're going to completely blow up downtown and redo everything. It's a matter of you can start with some of this as take half a block. Or take one block at a time and see what kind of improvements you can make.
Options.
So, very
here
much.
Are the options, and here's the information. And again, the data available for grants.
A lot of data out there to look at.
It's going to be really valuable to have.
Correct.
Yeah, that's awesome. So look forward to hopefully some of those things coming to fruition, and we'll be able to move on from there. So speaking of moving on, we just got a signal that we got to wrap it up.
Okay.
But there was one other item on your agenda the other night that I thought was interesting. It has to do with something we've talked about before. You have a water line in the community, a big intake line that needs a replacement, and that was awarded, the contract was awarded?
two really major projects that are, one is our water intake, as you know, or many folks know, that we take our drinking water out of the Missouri River, treat it, put it into what we call transmission lines to get it to your homes and to water reservoirs. Our intake facility at times becomes a sandbar, moves really close, and we come in danger of running out of water. And we also have a transmission line, what we call moves a lot of water from our water treatment plant up to the reservoir on Old Red Trail. And, you know, that 30, what we call the 30-inch line up to Old Red Trail Reservoir, you know, had a break, I think, in the early 1990s. We went in and fixed it. It's been a priority for us, but, you know, there haven't been too many breaks on that line in the last 10 or 15 years. However, we've had two significant breaks in that line during the last 12 months, and therefore it has moved up on our priority list quite significantly. And so we entered into some engineering agreements with AE2S to start moving on both of those projects.
Okay. All right. So repairs or that work may start this summer?
We'll be applying for some additional funding through the State Water Commission. Hopefully we would be successful in doing that. And they're all kind of tied together on grant funds and things like that. So we hope we're successful in obtaining some grant.
What's the earliest that you think that action could be started or construction could be started here?
We will be talking with the Water Commission in March. We do have we'll be on the agenda in April for the Water Commission. Or hopefully that is our plan on, I think, April 12th or April 23rd. Not sure what the date is, but if we are successful in grant applications, we're probably looking at later this summer. And timing on water transmission lines is critical because you want to make sure you're not in the heavy, people are watering their lawns going on where you have to have full capacity of that line. And so there's kind of a window between September and October and the early part of November, providing the weather cooperates, where you can actually do repairs to lines. So you fill your water reservoirs up.
It's interesting.
And hopefully those repairs can be done in time to get them, you know, they'll get drained down a bit and we'll have to fill them back up.
Okay. So well, you'll bring it back to us.
We will be back.
We'll talk again. So time to wrap up. Thanks for coming in on this Friday, Jim.
You're very welcome. And thanks for allowing us to kind of juggle our schedules around to accommodate everybody.
That kind of week.
Yep.
And thank you for watching and tuning in to City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.